One of the greatest and most unique moments in the life of New Hope Church comes each summer with your art camp. Any other time, with the possible exception of a wedding or a funeral, the church is largely filled with converted men and women or covenant children, or at least those who maintain a sympathetic interest or familiarity with the gospel. But art camp is quite different. At this time, for a total elapsed duration of 17 and a half hours, if I'm correctly calculating it, you have gathered in this space children and young teens, more than a few of whom are very unfamiliar with the gospel. Some who've not heard it at all. Others who heard it, but in a very deficient or unbiblical manner. And some who will probably never hear it again. Also, there are some parents who will hear their children's descriptions of the Bible truths that they heard during the past week with Pastor Taylor and some of the teachers. They'll hear about the intersection of art and creation and the Creator. We're praying that all will come and attend worship with their parents in the next Lord's Day morning and share a meal with us. And you might have some opportunity to speak with them. And some of you have testimonies of God's grace in your life to share. Usually, we're compelled to speak to people privately about Jesus or bring them to church with us to hear the gospel. At art camp, people freely come to us, some of whom would never come to church any other time. They happily send their children for the week, more than we can accommodate. Some have to be turned away. What an opportunity. So this morning, I want to briefly address the congregation, but especially those 30 or so of you who are directly involved in this 17 and a half hour opportunity that the Lord is giving you again this summer. Proverbs chapter 8, we've been reading a lot about Proverbs this morning from Proverbs. We're going to be looking at Proverbs 8, beginning at verse 12 through verse 21. Proverbs 8, chapter 8, beginning at verse 12, addresses this blessed opportunity. Listen to these verses. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me, princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the path of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. Amen. Well, in verse 12 and the following, wisdom is speaking to us in the first person singular. It's I. Listen, where he says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. I find knowledge and discretion. I have counsel and wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. I walk in the way of righteousness and paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. And especially, I'm going to speak to the 17th verse. I, wisdom, love those who love me, and those who seek me early or diligently find me. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is the knowledge of God. It's the way of God. Wisdom is salvation. The Lord Jesus personifies wisdom perfectly. A man or a woman or a boy or a girl that has Christ has a great degree of wisdom. And the more we grow in the knowledge of Christ, the more we grow in grace and holiness, the more wisdom we have. So at Art Camp, through the medium of art, we are pointing our young visitors to the way of life, to the way of wisdom. We're pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. To speak of wisdom really is to speak of Jesus, or to say it more bluntly, it would not be incorrect or improper of you to take a pencil and to write Jesus in place of all those first-person singular I's in Proverbs 8. Wisdom, point B, says, I love those who love me. And we see that that idea expressed in other places in the Bible, don't we? Psalm 91:14, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. Zechariah 1:3, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you. John 14:21, Jesus says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Listen to me. We know that salvation is by grace alone, which is to say that we love him because he first took the initiative to reach out and love us. We know that unless God graciously and sovereignly works in the heart of a sinner, there can be no thought, there can be no ability, not even any real desire to turn or return to the Lord and walk wisely. Wisdom shows us how to do this. But from a human standpoint, God still holds us completely responsible. Though he be absolutely sovereign, in ways we'll never understand, he holds us completely responsible to seek him and confess his Son as our Savior and to follow him and to walk wisely. Wisdom helps us. It shows us how to reject what is destructive and foolish. Wisdom urges us to the cross. And at Art Camp, we're taking also the role of a shepherd. We're walking with the shepherd. We're out at night looking, seeking for lost sheep. We're seeking children who will turn their hearts to Jesus, those whom God has chosen from eternity to turn to himself. Isn't there a boy or girl here somewhere who would like to ask Jesus into their heart? Isn't there someone who would seek the Lord and who would be found? You all have in this congregation great things to offer. In the name of the Lord. As his ambassadors, you've been entrusted to hold out the wonderful eternal promises of God. You offer saving wisdom. Look at these verses in Proverbs 8. Wisdom is the way of an eternal inheritance. Eternal inheritance, verse 21. Wisdom is often the way to riches and honor and spiritual fruit that endures, verses 18 and 19. Wisdom is the way of righteousness, verse 20. This is a genuine offer. Real riches, real life in Christ. At Art Camp, you have the opportunity to express and to explain what it means to love God and to know his love, to show how to turn away from the path of foolishness and destruction and to find the cross and the narrow way that leads to life. Could anyone give these children better than that? No, they can't. I'll go further. I'll be even more expansive. Is there any organization, is there any program, is there anything that offers a better opportunity, better news, a better hope, a graceful life in this age, and yes, in eternity, than what's going down at 65 Hitchner Avenue this week? No. Unless it be some other gospel opportunity. That's not just pastors blasting away with a lot of rhetoric. That's hard reality. That's truth, and you know it. Back to verse 17. Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. The English Standard Version uses the word diligently, which is a good translation. But it's possible, and also very correct, to translate that Hebrew word as early. Those who seek me early find me. I like that. At least I like to put those two words together because it reminds us that we must diligently seek the Lord early, even at an early age. Art Camp has children from our own covenant homes who have some good training and familiarity with the gospel, have been catechized, and they are familiar with these things. We have a word for them. We pray that sharing the magnificence and the power of God in creation, of hearing the loving gospel of Jesus in a new manner, in a slightly different way, might really touch their hearts for the Lord. We also know that there will be no small number of children who've never heard how great and holy and orderly this Creator God is, and what peril therein as disorderly sinners without a Savior. Both must seek early to avoid the pitfalls of a life of years of unconverted misery and foolishness. Oh, that the young people of this community would seek Him early in their wisdom. Now, I've seen, especially where I formerly lived, many young people who would walk down the street. Usually they walk down the middle of the street. And they reminded me of the woman Folly in Proverbs 7 and 9. Their language was embarrassing. Their dress and interaction with one another was frequently shocking. Blankety blank, you girlfriend! We know the statistics. We know it's no different here in Bridgeton, in Cumberland-Salem County, than it is in Camden County. Don't be deceived by your nice rural community. Some will birth children as teenagers out of wedlock. Some will end up in jail. Many will enter into marriages that end in violence and divorce. Many will fall prey to alcohol and drug abuse, and most of them, probably as many as 80 or 90%, will live their lives outside the wisdom of God and the salvation of Christ. They will die under the law as without a Savior. But wisdom cries out to these simple ones. God says, those who seek me early will find me. Now, before they have set an irrevocable course away from the church and away from the way of wisdom and life, they can find me because God is not hiding. Don't ever suppose that God is hiding. God is not elusive. God shows Himself through art. God shows Himself through creation with special clarity and with power. And your teachers, those of you who are teaching, will help people to see that. You see, that's why our camp is such a great idea. It's men who are the hiders. Adam and Eve, after they had sinned, set the pattern for us of dodging and seeking to hide from God and blaming their sin and rebellion on God and on one another. There in the garden. As Jesus put it, and this is the judgment, that the light came into the world, but men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, lest their deeds should be exposed. But children are not yet so determined to hide and may be easier found. The older we grow, the more hard and skillful we become at dodging God. And our Lord Himself said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. What a privilege. What an opportunity to tell these little ones about Jesus before they got a lot of other ideas in their head. 17 and a half hours. So, you who are working at Art Camp, this is what you must do. First, pray for the children you work with. Pray for them by name. Write down their names on Sunday, on Monday morning, and take it home with you after camp and pray through those names. If you are one of those who works with all the children in sports and snacks and some other capacity, keep an eye out for some whose names you can learn and pray for them every day. Understand this. You could have had a lot more children at this camp. You made a deliberate, strategic decision to keep Art Camp relatively small, 45 children. Now, that decision is only defensible and only makes sense if you take advantage of that smaller size and have personal interaction with those kids. And that starts with specific prayer for specific kids. Do not by any means neglect the early daily prayer meeting every morning at 8:15. Here's the second thing. Ask God to give you opportunities to speak with one-to-one at least with some of these children in your classes. Ask the Lord to give you eyesight, to give you penetration, to see that child or that young person who may be showing an interest in the Lord, who God may have his hand upon in some way, and who might profit from a few moments of special individual attention. You could pull them aside and ask them about the Lord Jesus and what they think. Pray for Pastor Taylor as he speaks of God and the Lord Jesus and his saving gospel every morning. So, pray for children, interact with them spiritually, and thirdly, here's the third thing. This is going to be a brief message this morning. Seek to meet their parents or guardians. I'm hoping to have a little welcome tent or table with some cold and hot coffee and donuts for adults to stop by as they drop off children, at least on Monday morning. And I'd be happy to be joined by another adult or someone in the church. Some of the parents may bring especially younger children into the sanctuary for the opening assembly and sit with them or sit in the back. And if you're free and if you're able to do so, be sure to greet them. Take the initiative to introduce yourself and ask their name and where they live. You may turn out to be their near neighbor. Of course, another opportunity will present itself, Lord willing, this coming Sunday morning when some of the adults and children or young people come by themselves, accept invitations to worship with us and join us for a wonderful picnic afterward during the traditional Sunday school hour, during which meal you will not sit next to one another. But you'll seat yourselves among visitors. Raise your right hand and swear. This is not the time for that. During this meal or immediately after it, we're hoping to hear some of the young people share some of their artwork and maybe something they've learned, which by the grace of God, Pastor Taylor or Mrs. Taylor will cleverly point Jesus out to them using those words. No pressure. Some of you may have opportunity to share your own testimony with someone sitting next to you. One last thing I want to say. Years ago, a man in the Belmar congregation who should have known better argued strenuously against our continuing the long tradition of offering VBS to the community every summer. He pointed out what a large amount of work it was and how much money it cost us. He argued, furthermore, that we rarely saw anybody on church the next Sunday morning, all of which was true. But I thought of all of the advertising, all the hundreds of lawn signs and postcards to the alumni sent out year after year. I thought of people, neighbors, driving by the church every morning and seeing hordes of children running around happily all over the lawn. I recall how many people I would meet from time to time, and surprisingly frequently, neighbors, people I would meet in the park or in the local school who would say to me, "You know, I went to that VBS in your church 20, 10, 30, even 40 years ago. It was a good memory for them. It gave them a very good opinion of the church. That's worth something. Something that can pay off when life changes and they need the church or they need some hope or they need someone to talk with, or maybe someone asks them for to recommend a good church that where they might be welcome. Most importantly of all, I thought of the good gospel seed that was sown in the hearts of hundreds of children over the years. And there were a lot. I remember God's promise. That God's promise in His Word is that His Word is never sown in vain, but always accomplishes His purposes. And yes, sometimes with ministry like Art Camp, it's a long game. But it's sheer faithlessness, foolishness as opposed to wisdom, to suppose that God cannot and will not use your faithful ministry of the Word in the young lives at Art Camp, even if it's many years to come. I, wisdom, love those who love me, and those who seek me early find me. Be wise. Be faithful. Be encouraged. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the freedom that we have in this nation yet to freely invite neighbors and speak clearly, freely, however we wish. And we wish, Lord, to speak your words, to speak your gospel. Lord, there's nothing like it. You use it to supernaturally change people, and they can be very young people and often are very young people. Lord, it is a time when hearts are tender. We pray that you would bless this camp. We pray that you would bless your word, Lord, that you would be jealous, very jealous, Lord, to use even our humble efforts and small efforts to bring forth great fruit. Lord, give us faith to see these things, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.